like how it invigorates my dying body, dead parts reawaken. I take my bottle back to bed with me. Sitting up against the headboard, I flip through selfies she and I took with my phone. I'm torturing myself, but I can't help it. She'll always be mine, even if she'll never have me again. Another long swig of whiskey. 30 minutes later, I'm good and drunk. I text Chelsea and tell her she's a cunt. I text Mom and tell her I'm an asshole. I text Reagan and tell her she should study psychology. I text Roman and tell him Chelsea is a cunt. I text Danny and tell her I'm an asshole. I get a text from Andy that says I'm an asshole. This goes on and on until I can't see my screen anymore. I manage to dial Danny's number in my haze. I'm too drunk to notice if she's picked up or if it's gone to voicemail. Either way, I just talk.
It's always been you, Buttercup,
I groan.
Fuck, I can't think straight. You, mine.
Another groan, another swig of whiskey.
Fuck me. I'm so goddamn sorry, that woman. Jesus.
I curse and attempt to drain my bottle. When I realize it's empty, I sling it against the wall. It thuds against it and then bounces on the carpet.
From the moment you wrong texted me, I was yours,
I slur.
You were mine, and I love you, and I need you, and God damn it, please answer your phone and talk to me, beautiful.
Sniffle. I blink through my haze, trying to decide if I imagined it or not.
I can't sleep because you plague my every thought, Danny,
I drawl out.
You're both my punishment and my reward. God fucking damn it. I'm trying to apologize and it's all coming out wrong.
Another sniffle. She really is there.
Baby.
I groan.
Jesus, I love you. Hear me, I love you. Come back to me. I can't live without you. I'm drowning in my thoughts for you. There's no color or sound or light, just sadness and fucking despair. I need you, baby. Don't you need me too?
Click. Howling out in pain that I can feel with every fiber of my being, I throw my phone. It too thuds somewhere in my room. I fist the covers and clench my eyes closed. Emotion chokes my throat. I feel as though a 200-pound man is sitting on my chest. I can't breathe.
Fuck.
My heart is throbbing hard and painfully inside my empty chest, as if now that she's gone, it has nothing to beat for. Please come back to me, Danny.
Chapter 17. Danny. I just want to sleep. Honey, I'm home. I hear Andy's voice from deep under the blankets. Her footsteps get louder, and then the mattress dips with her weight. Hey, girlfriend, you get out of this bed yet today? She tries pulling the covers off me, but I hold tight, barricading myself deep inside. I take that as a no. Well, listen, I think it's great and all that you want to spend the rest of your life in my comforter igloo, but you're going to have to make some decisions here soon. Like if you want to eat or wither away. Keep your job, since you've called in sick the last 3 days, and I can only tell Harold so many times that you're a bleeding mess, or have the stomach flu, shitting all over yourself. I grunt, throwing the covers off my face. You did not. I blink a few times, the brightness hurting my sensitive eyes. Swollen from the nonstop crying, I lift my arm to block the light. She smiles gently. I didn't. Well, kinda didn't, but you know him. He's itching to make an example out of someone, and since you're officially runner-up on most consecutive days of calling in sick... At this point, I couldn't care less. Let Harold stick-up-his-ass Sphincterson fire me. I hate that job anyway. I try grabbing for the covers, but this time Andy puts up a fight. Danny, no. I love you, girl, but I can't watch you do this anymore. You're worrying me. This isn't healthy. She lets out a huff. Not to mention, Marilyn Manson hates me. He gives me the stink eye when I go feed him. I try another tug, but she's not letting up. I groan, giving up and turning, offering her my back. My heart aches for my kitty, but it aches worse for Ram. Well, I'm sick of this, too. I'm sick of feeling so hurt, so lost. I'm sick of crying so hard that I make myself sick. I'm sick of feeling so alone and heartbroken because I'm not sure I'll ever be able to fix what he did. I am just as sick as you are about what this has done to me, but I don't know how to change that. I don't know how it's possible to still cry, but the tears manage to slide down my cheeks. My shoulders begin to shake as Andy crawls fully into the bed, snuggling behind me. She wraps her arm around me, holding me as I cry. Again, it's been like this for the past 3 days. 3 days which have felt like a lifetime of sadness and betrayal. Confusion on what to do. Andy took my phone right from the beginning, fighting the battle with Ram for me. I didn't ask what he was texting, and she didn't tell me. She said it was for the best. One day into it, though, my mind started to wonder what he was saying. Did he feel remorse? Was he sorry for lying? Hiding something so big from me? Was he hurting as bad as I was? Was he over it and already moving on? I cry harder thinking about the last one. What if he just gave up? Andy assured me at one point on day two, when I was staring at my phone, that he was super active in being an annoying asshole, and I'd better hope I have an unlimited plan because he won't shut the fuck up. It was the first small, but something, giggle I had shown in days. I'm sorry you're hurting, honey. I just want you to be happy, and back to the beautiful, kind, and cheery Danny I'm used to. And so do I, but I'm afraid that I don't know how to get back there, or if I ever can. She hugs me tighter as the sound of loud banging comes from the front door. The banging stops, then automatically starts again, this round more aggressive. Jesus, if that asshole had the nerve to come over here. My body tenses, thinking he might be here. So close, just outside that door. Andy disappears on a mission, and I hear the clatter of her heels slamming on the wood floor as she makes her way to the door. It's seconds after that I hear the door thrown open and the yelling begins. Afraid she's going to kill him, I jump out of bed, heading for them. Shock, then disappointment sets in when I see Roman with a girl standing at the threshold of her apartment. You douchebag motherfucker! Coming here with one of your sluts? Andy goes to swing at Roman, but he catches her wrist.
Calm the fuck down, woman. She's my sister. Her name's Reagan.
Andy stares at the other woman with her mouth gaping open in shock, while I scrutinize the girl next to Roman. I automatically see the similarities, matching hair color and eyes. She also has the same nose as Ram. Just thinking his name brings back the hurt. Oh, well, I'm sorry I called you a slut. It's your cunt of a brother who's the slut. With a gasp out of Andy, Roman charges for her, lifting her up and throwing him over his shoulder. Put me down, you big oaf!
No, you're gonna hear me out and you're gonna stop calling me names and hitting me.
Never! Andy yells just as Roman enters her bedroom, kicking the door closed with his heel. Ram's sister and I stare at the closed door. We hear a squeal, and I assume Roman just dropped her onto her bed. Ouch! You bit me! Andy snarls.
You just tried to rip my balls off, Roman yells. Fuck, you're crazy.
You're an asshole. It gets eerily quiet for a few seconds until it's quiet no more. Oh my god, are they doing it right now? Reagan gasps. Ew, I think they are. I turn to their sister and we both start laughing. I'm sorry, how rude of me. Please come inside. We can turn on the television in hopes to drown them out. She smiles, that Holloway smile, and follows me to the couch. We both sit and I turn on the television. It's a Wonderful Life plays on the screen.
I'm Reagan, by the way. Roman and Ram's baby sister. Nice to officially meet you.
Oh, you must think my manners are horrible. I stick my hand out. I'm Danny. You're super pretty. And she is.
Thanks. So are you. You look very sad, though. I'm sorry my brother made you so sad.
I'm embarrassed that she can tell I'm suffering, but at this point it seems impossible to hide it. My normal luster has dulled. I know I've dropped weight, even in the 3 short days, from lack of eating and crying. Me too, I reply sadly.
You seem super nice, though, she beams. Not kinda loco like your friend, no offense.
I laugh because she's right. Andy is crazy. Uncomfortable silence falls upon us. My chest aches with a pain only Ram can dole out to me. Breaking up with Daryl was annoying and frustrating. Losing what I had with Ram is soul-crushing and killer. Danny, Reagan murmurs, dragging me from my inner painful thoughts. Can I tell you a story? I turn to her and nod.
She smiles, looking thankful. Maybe she thought I'd have turned her down. As I said, I'm the youngest of us three. Roman and I are 8 years apart, Ram and I 6. Roman and I weren't really close when I was little. He was already into his friends, school, and sports. He didn't really want to be bothered by his little sister. But Ram, he was always there for me. When I was little, at night, I would be too scared to go to my mom and dad if I wet the bed or had bad dreams. Not that they would have been mad, but I was embarrassed, so I would always go to Ram. He would clean me up or calm me, and then I would cuddle in his bed with him, listening to him tell me stories until I fell asleep. He just took care of me. He always has. He was such a lover as a kid, and one growing up. He cared for his family, his friends, and he looked out for what was his. He kicked a boyfriend's ass once for cheating on me, left parties to come pick me up at the mall because my car would break down, and he would make sure I was doing my homework even when all I wanted to do was play video games with him. He was my best friend. She pauses a moment to make sure I'm still following her. I'm not sure if she notices, but I'm chewing on my lower lip, trying to hide my building emotions. Hearing what a loyal brother Ram was makes me thankful Reagan has somebody like him. As much as Ram would mess with me, telling me I was his best friend, I always knew his was my dad. It wasn't his friends from the neighborhood or school, or even Roman. It was our dad. Did you know that Ram didn't even want to go to college? He just wanted to go straight into working with my dad, learning everything from him. He said he didn't need a degree. He had my dad. As much as my dad was touched, he drilled the importance of an education and forced him to go, telling him there would always be a spot for him when he returned. He would have a degree, and they could start a company together, father and son. I lift my hand to wipe a tear that's escaped my eye. Without even hearing the rest of this story, I know the end affects Ram in so many ways. My dad died during Ram's second year of college. He was diagnosed with cancer during a regular checkup. My mom and dad chose not to tell us kids because they didn't want us to worry. They thought they would work with the doctors, hopefully do the rounds of chemo the doctor recommended without having to burden us and move on. My dad caught some bug. My parents had been out during a Christmas festival. My dad, the typical stubborn man he was, didn't wear a heavy enough jacket, picked up a cold. Due to the cancer, his body wasn't strong enough to fight it, and he died not long after. Ram found out Dad was on his deathbed when he came home for Christmas break. I gasp at her words, bringing my hands to my mouth, trying to cover my choked sob. Once Ram found out Dad had been sick for some time, he went berserk. "How dare they keep something so important from us," he'd said. "How my mom was so selfish." He said some nasty things to us all. He then blamed himself for going to school. If he never went, he would have been home. He could have helped in some way. He just couldn't get over he didn't get to spend more time with our dad toward the end. I don't think he has ever forgiven my mom, maybe even my dad for it. She reaches for my hand, patting the top of it. I grab for hers, showing my remorse for her loss. She continues, "I'm sorry. I don't mean to tell you this to make you upset, and that's not my point. I know. I'm just so sad for you all. To lose a parent, I can't imagine." Tears sneak out, despite my need to hold it together in front of her. "Thank you. It's been a long time. The sadness never really goes away. I miss him every day, but I also know what a great dad he was when he was with us." I nod. "I bet he was." My point is that Ram has never truly loved anyone as much as he loved my dad. I know it sounds weird in a way, but they had a bond that I don't think Roman nor I ever shared. My mom, either. And when he died, so did a piece of Ram. He was never truly the same. He became depressed, gave the family tons of scares. He went off the grid, and we didn't know if he was dead or alive. It took years for him to find happiness in small things. I went and saw Ram today. In the condition he's in right now, it brings back a lot of scary memories from when Dad died. That's how bad he is without you. I begin to sob. I can't hold in the guilt or the pain. Reagan leans in, wrapping her arms around me, holding me while I cry on her shoulder. "I know he lied, and he's a dummy for doing it. but if I can ask anything of you, please hear him out. I love my brother, and my brother loves you. It's his responsibility to explain to you why he didn't tell you everything, but I know for a fact that whatever it is she told you, it's all lies. Chelsea set my brother up. He's not what she said or accused him of being. I pull away, looking into her eyes, and all I see is honesty. She continues with a hopeful smile. Please, I'm worried about him. If I didn't know he was innocent of what that tramp is accusing him of, I wouldn't be here talking to you. How could I have not thought about him and his depression? Just when I thought he might have moved on, he's really at home suffering. I wipe at my soaked cheeks. I love your brother. The words finally leaving my lips feel strange, especially since I'm saying them to his sister and not him. I know you do. You wouldn't be this sad if you didn't. And he loves you something fierce. I can see it in the way he's hurting too. Go to him. Hear him out. What you two share is something extremely special. I grab her and hug her tight. Thank you, I whisper and pull away. I stand, knowing I need to shower first. She says with a groan. I'm just going to, sit here and turn the volume up while I wait for my brother. Those two seem to be getting louder in there. We both laugh, just as the constant thump of the headboard banging echoes throughout the small apartment. Yeah, good thinking. It's been days since I've ventured outside, and the realization of how much snow is on the ground excites me. It takes me almost 20 minutes to get all the snow off my car. I drive carefully this time over to Ram's, making sure not to have a replay of the other day. 3 stitches to the forehead is a sure way to drive safe. I'm anxious to see Ram. I thought to call him or text, letting him know I was coming over, but then I chickened out. Despite the major issue between us, I've missed him so much. I've missed his touch, his laughter, and his small endearments. I've missed the fullness in my heart of being with him. I make it to his place, and by the time I'm lifting my hand to knock on his door, my nerves are out of control. I realize my hand is shaking. 3 knocks in, and no one answers. That would be just my luck, him not being here. I turn the knob and realize the door is unlocked. Slowly opening the door, I stick my head in. Ram? I'm met with silence, so I take another step inside their place. 1 quick scan shows me the place is a mess. Nothing rests on the coffee table, as it is now littering the floor. Couch cushions have been tossed, the kitchen chairs knocked over, and the Christmas tree is lying on its side, surrounded by broken ornaments. I walk in, and the door closes behind me. Ram? Silence. Worry sets in that something is wrong. I walk over some couch cushions, making my way to Ram's room, searching for my phone in my purse. I find it ready to call Roman. Ram, I murmur as I enter his room. It's then I see him, and my heart breaks all over again. He's sitting at the end of his bed, his head hanging low. Day's worth of stubble is covering his normally clean-shaven face. He doesn't register my presence, and when I stand in front of him, his bloodshot eyes don't move from the object he's holding. I bring my vision to where his eyes are locked, and I see it. My ornament.
You were going to say it. The 3 words I was waiting for you to say. You were going to say it, and I fucked it up.
He doesn't raise his eyes to me. His focus is on the ornament, the personalized message staring back at him. Ram. I say his name, needing him to acknowledge me, to show me his eyes.
I just had to be honest with you.
His voice cracks.
I would have gotten those words. I would have kept you, but I fucked it all up.
I take a step closer. He's starting to worry me. I wish he would just look at me. Kneeling down, I place my hand over the ornament to break his connection. Ram, look at me, please.
So I can see disgust in your eyes? Hate? Are you here to tell me off? Make me hate myself even more than I already do?
His words are killing me. He sounds so defeated, so broken, and my heart bleeds for him. The scent of alcohol fills the room. The empty liquor bottles littering the floor tell me he's been drinking heavily. Ram, that's not why I'm here.
I want to talk. It's then he lifts his eyes to mine. Oh, Ram, what have you been doing to yourself?
I've been fucking dying.
My tears begin to fall. I bring my hands up, cupping his face. Please talk to me. His eyes shine with unshed tears.
I can't sleep. I can't sleep without you in my arms. I can't.
A single tear races down his bearded face. Ram. His name is a choked sob off my lips as I wrap my arms around him. His body quakes, his silent sobs gutting me.
I just want to sleep, he whispers. I want to sleep so I can dream you're still here.
Shh. I coo as I guide him up the bed. It's like he's on autopilot. I pull down the covers and kick off my shoes before crawling into the bed beside him. My arm wraps around his solid frame, and it feels nice to be glued to his side once again. He snuggles his face into my hair and inhales me. I feel his lips press against my head, and he brings his arms around me.
Why do the people I love so much end up leaving me?
He whispers, so softly I almost don't hear it. I'm here. Sleep, okay? I'm here. His breathing settles, and within minutes, I can tell he's passed out. Sleep doesn't find me as easily, and as I lay here holding my broken man, I cry.
Chapter 18. Ram. No secrets, no lies. My head throbs and I feel like I'm going to suffocate. After 3 days of no sleep hell, my body seems to have given up and I crashed. I groan against the light streaming in the window and try to take my other pillow to put over my eyes. But someone is lying on it. A painful thump in my chest reminds me my heart is still alive inside, even if just barely. I inhale a scent that makes my belly flop. Familiar. Mine. But then my chest is aching again, much like it did last night. She's not mine. I lost her. I clench my eyes closed, trying to remember how beautiful she was in my dreams last night. Her brown hair was damp and had been pulled into a messy bun. She had a tear-stained face and bloodshot eyes. That's all I really remember. She touched me, hugged me, told me it was safe to sleep. Another painful groan from me. I sit up, fighting the churning in my stomach and peel off my t-shirt. When I lie back down, I force myself to look on the bed beside me, to acknowledge the fact that she's not here. Dragging my eyes over, I get another jostling jolt to the heart. Danny lies there, looking so small and perfect, still fully clothed. It wasn't a dream, unless I'm still drunk. Her waking moan acts like an alarm to my dick. I lie down beside her and stroke her hair. She feels real. When she rolls over and peers up at me with her sleepy hazel eyes, I know it's not a dream. I simply drink myself to death and I'm in heaven.
Oh, Ram,
she whispers, her delicate hand gently touching my scruffy cheek.
What happened to us?
I clench my jaw and swallow. Emotion claws at my chest, but I keep it at bay. I broke us. Her dark brows furrow together and she shakes her head. She slides her palm to my neck before touching my upper bare chest.
I missed you. Apparently I can't function without you.
She lets out a laugh, but it comes with tears. I tentatively reach for her. When she doesn't jerk away, I swipe away her tears. I can't function without you either, I grunt. What happened to your forehead? She scrunches her nose and rolls her eyes.
Snow happened. I had a teensy-weensy little accident.
I jerk up and glare at her.
What?
Where? When? How? A sweet smile tugs at her lips as she urges me to lie back down.
Yep, an accident. Outside of this building, in my car, the day I ran from you. I was too upset and tried to go too fast.
A growl rumbles from me. I barely manage to hiss out any words. This is all my fault. She strokes her fingers through my messy hair.
This isn't all your fault. You didn't make me drive like an idiot. That was all me. Besides, I'm fine now. Everything is fine.
Well, she smirks.
Not my job, that's certainly not fine, but I don't really like it there anyway.
Baby. She winces at the endearment and my heart shuts down. How do I fucking fix us? I start and then cough away the hoarseness in my throat. I should have told you how I was fired. I should have explained everything. Hell, I wanted to, badly. But I was just so fucking mortified you would think less of me. I finally allow my hand to touch her. I'm dying to caress her and hold her. My palm splays out on her hip before drawing her closer to me.
Ram,
she says with a sigh.
Why would I think less of you for something that's untrue? I know you. You're a good man. Something clearly happened, but I don't believe for one second that those allegations were true.
Letting out a huff of air, I shake my head. Of course they weren't true. It's all so stupid. I've been seeing Chelsea for several months. I thought things were getting serious despite knowing better. Chelsea is known for liking shiny toys. To her, I was a shiny toy. When I wasn't so shiny anymore and boring, she wanted to get rid of me. But it's not her style to simply break up with someone. Danny's eyes narrow at me, and I can tell she's angry. I keep talking before I lose my nerve. Anyway, since I worked for her dad's company that she also worked for, the simple breakup would have left me still there and in her way, so Chelsea decided to make a big production. She sent me something, a link. I'd opened it, not understanding exactly what it was. As soon as I realized it was something awful, I pushed off the power on my computer. It was too late. The IT department had been notified. They came in with disgust in their eyes and the owner on their heels. Once they deduced that there was child porn on my computer, old man Tucker told my brother to get rid of me. Roman fired me on the spot, in front of Chelsea and everyone. I could tell it tore up my brother having to do it without getting to the bottom of what happened. I close my eyes and sigh. Anyway, that's what happened. When I reopen my eyes, Danny's nostrils are flaring.
That bitch,
she hisses. One side of my mouth quirks up in a half smile. It disarms her for a minute because she smiles too.
I missed that smile,
she tells me, her cheeks turning a pretty pink color.
Why didn't you tell them what really happened, Ram?
I swallow and shrug. I wanted to give Chelsea the benefit of the doubt, that either it was a mistake or that she'd stick up for me to her father. Neither of those scenarios were the case. She moved on to Blake in accounting.
And then Roman in marketing.
She bites out, fury blazing in her eyes. Roman wouldn't touch her. He hates her, I tell her firmly. She bites on her bottom lip.
No secrets, no lies.
Nodding, I give her a frown. No secrets, no lies.
She told me she was seeing Roman.
I laugh and it's bitter. Yeah, fucking right. She's a liar.
Oh, I can see that now. I sort of told Andy, though. And for two people who aren't seeing each other, she really got pissed.
But then she smiles broadly.
He must have gotten through to her, though, because I left them as they worked together to drive the headboard through the wall. Your poor sister.
My eyes widen. You met Reagan? She blushes and nods.
She looks a lot like you. I like her. Let's just say she made me see things differently.
I spear my fingers into her hair, no longer able to keep my distance. My lips brush against hers for a brief moment before she pushes me away.
Wait.
Pain slices through my heart. I'd assumed wrong. She won't be able to forget so easily.
I really am sorry, baby. I should never have kept that from you.
She chuckles.
The past is behind us. We're moving forward now. You and I operate better as two parts of one amazing whole. Now that I've got you back, we can move forward like we should have a lot sooner. And for that, I'm sorry.
I frown and shake my head.
You have nothing to apologize for.
Her thumb shushes me.
Actually, I lied too.
My heart rate quickens.
I lied to myself and I lied to you by omission. Ramsey Holloway, I love you. I should have told you some time ago, especially on the many occasions you told me. Because it's true, I do love you. I think I've loved you from the moment you called me Buttercup.
I beam at her.
Then I love you too, Buttercup.
All the pain that had been threatening to consume me fades away like a sad song that's ending. Now a new beat begins to play in my heart. Something hopeful and upbeat. Something ours. Now will you kiss me? She nods and lets me pull her to me. Our lips meet, almost shyly at first, but then the slow, aching hunger within each of us begins to claw its way out. Moans escape and our kisses become more fervent. Tongues fight for purchase in each other's mouth. Lips suck and teeth bite. I don't even realize I've been tugging at her sweater until it's off her head and sailing off the bed. My palm finds her tit through her bra, round and full and mine. I nudge her onto her back before I begin trailing kisses from the corner of her mouth, along her slender neck, across her collarbone, and then to her cleavage. She lets out a whine when I bite her flesh through her bra.
"More, Ram,"
she murmurs, her fingers tugging at my hair. I slide my hand beneath her and unhook her bra in one fluid motion, and in the next that delicate piece of clothing is sailing through the air. Next, her leggings and panties are gone. I leave her socks on so her little toes don't freeze. My mouth craves to kiss her everywhere, but when I spend a little too much time worshipping her entire body, including her knees and shins, she lets out an exasperated huff.
"So help me, if you don't slip off those sweatpants and push inside of me in the next 3 seconds, I'm walking right out that door."
I start to laugh because her face is all business, needy and desperate.
"As you wish,"
I tell her with a wink. I shove my sweatpants down my thighs and push her knees apart.
"Say it again."
Leaning forward, I hover over her tiny body, letting my thick, engorged cock rest heavily on her cunt.
"Please say it." "It."
I growl at her and nip at her bottom lip.
"Such a smartass."
She giggles until I drive my cock into her wet entrance in one hard thrust.
"Oh my God."
"You're mine forever, Buttercup," I tell her, our mouths soft and wet against each other.
"Yours."
She agrees.
"Yes."
"Say it." She giggles but indulges me.
"I love you, my sweet, sexy man."
I devour her mouth and buck into her like a wild animal. Her body shudders, always so sensitive to how we mold together. When she cries out and her cunt grips my dick, I let out a pleased groan before my release surges from me almost painfully. I collapse on her small body and nuzzle my nose against her ear.
"Don't ever leave me again."
My pleaded words are barely a whisper, but she hears me.
"Never again."
"Wow, that was fun. Not?"
Andy blows a blonde hair from her forehead and attempts to ignore Roman. He's kind of hard to ignore, though, my brother. Giant and imposing and all up in her personal space. They're still in denial, as if we'll all make fun of them for seeing each other. It isn't as if we can't hear them fuck every 10 minutes in whatever room is closest.
"Thank you,"
Danny tells her.
"The tree looks much better upright."
She shoots me a sad stare. I'd kind of lost my fucking head while drunk last night and destroyed the living room. Thankfully, everyone loves me and worked together to help clean it up. The only ornament that wasn't broken was the one Danny made for me, which now hangs proudly at my eye level.
"You're looking lots better,"
Reagan says with a grin.
"It's a good thing, too. Tomorrow's Christmas Eve, and Mom would be pissed if you showed up being Grumpy Gus."
I ruffle her hair, and she swats at me.
"So now what?"
my sister questions as she picks a piece of lint off Danny's sweater. I don't miss the way they giggle at each other's quiet jokes. It warms me to know they get along so well already.
"We get that bitch back?"
Andy practically growls. I raise an eyebrow in question. "Chelsea?"
"I like to refer to her as fake bitch cunt, but whatever."
Andy huffs.
"This is still happening, right, Oaf?"
Her eyes dart over to my brother, who rolls his eyes. "Must you call me that?" he grumbles. "But yeah." I blink at him stupidly. "What do you mean? We're getting her back? How?" Danny's arms wrap around my middle and she leans her head on my chest.
"She hurt you. She tried to hurt us. It's time she learns she can't mess with people's lives like that."
Her fingers clutch onto the front of my shirt and she lifts her gaze to mine as if to make sure what she said is okay. "Okay, I'm listening, but isn't it better to just ignore her? She'll go away eventually," I tell them with a groan.
"Until fake bitch cunt comes back trying to stir up more shit,"
Andy explains with over-exaggerated hand gestures.
"FBC will be back, probably to be the one to object right in the middle of your wedding ceremony."
Danny tenses and I hug her tighter. She's probably embarrassed that her friend assumed we would get married one day. Her friend is right. And just as soon as we get past Christmas, I'm taking my beautiful buttercup and I'm going to buy her a ring. "She's right," Roman groans, as if he hates even agreeing with her. She flashes me a triumphant smile. Chelsea has gotten 3 employees just this month fired for various things. These were good, solid employees. It's ridiculous. I'd been attempting to concoct something to get her back when I'd just had enough. I quit on Friday.
You what?
I bark out. His dark eyes bore into mine and he nods his head. She forced me to fire my little brother. From that second on, I was never loyal to that company. I've been working on a plan ever since.
What's the plan?
I demand. My chest swells, though, that my brother hates them just as much as I do. James Tucker is getting ready to retire, Roman explains. It was always assumed he'd just hand over the reins to Chelsea. But James is old school. He's a good guy despite the bitch he raised. I've been talking to him about selling Tucker Advertising to me. I blink at my brother.
You can't afford that.
He shakes his head. If we touch the money Dad left us, he says and gestures to himself, then me, and then Reagan, we could afford to do that. Reagan grins.
I'm in.
Danny squeezes me in a supportive way that has my heart rate slowing.
Okay,
I utter, still not convinced this is the best plan. But he won't sell unless there is absolutely no way he can trust Chelsea to effectively run the company once he steps away. Some of those clients he's been building relationships with since the 70s, long before she was born. It'll kill him to hand him over to her if she's not serious about her role, he tells me.
So?
Andy cuts him off and pats his solid chest.
We're going to bring the bitch down.
Danny and Reagan laugh. I'm game for making her pay for ruining my life. Twice. But how? I question. A wicked grin turns Andy's lips up on both corners.
Roman's going to get her to Bender's. Brett and I are going to do the rest.
She winks at me, a wink that says, don't worry, man, I've got this. What do I do? Danny looks up at me and grins.
You just have to show up with me.
And what are we going to do? I ask with a smirk. She's so damn cute when she's being devious. When I'd told her, after the second round of makeup sex, that Chelsea had stripped down in my room in an attempt to seduce me, I thought I was going to have to tie Danny to the bed to keep her from going after her. But no secrets, no lies. I am as transparent as a fucking ghost now, as far as my girlfriend is concerned.
Well,
Andy tells me,
after FBC gets good and drunk, she's going to admit that she set you up because she's a duplicitous cunt. Then,
Roman lets out a growl. Then we finish the job. I'll meet with James and show him exactly why his daughter is unfit to run Tucker Advertising. And then we're going to buy that company right out from under her feet. I squeeze my girl against me. Let's get this show on the road.
Chapter 19, Andy. It's showtime.
And why again are you dressed like that?
Brett asks, his fucking eyes glued to my tits. Because I need to connect with a super cunt, so she talks to me and confesses that she's a cunt and got our boy fired. I don't think he even registers what I said. For fuck's sake, my eyes are up here. He blinks. Up they go, back to reality.
Shit, darling, you got a nice rack. Maybe sometime you and I should...
My phone dings, cutting off whatever he was going to say. Roman.
She's going to be there in 2 minutes. Don't fuck this up. And pull your shirt up for Christ's sake.
Me. Go fuck yourself. Probably gonna let Brett fuck these to thank him for the good job he'll do tonight. Roman.
WTF? He better not fucking touch you.
Me. Not your call, asswipe. Now I'm definitely letting him see the goods. See how you like that. Middle finger emoji. Okay. She's about to walk in, get ready. I lift my hand and do my secret signal, so Danny and Ram, who are hiding in a booth in the corner, know it's almost showtime. I take a sip of my drink, watching the door from the corner of my eye. Like clockwork, it opens and a woman fitting the description of the one and only FBC walks in.
Well, she certainly looks like she knows her way around a dick,
Brett says, wiping his hands on his bar towel, then swings it over his shoulder. I fight not to look, but I catch her in my peripheral view. Sadly, I can see the appeal. She's tall, beautiful, and definitely has a whore mouth. Stick to the plan or I swear I'll cut your dick off. He grunts. Most likely the image of him dickless a scary thing. He grabs for his potential victimized dick.
Fuck, you freaked the hell out of me.
Good, now get ready. It's showtime. Just then, like fucking magic, she sits down next to me. We roped in Sylvia to make sure the rest of the bar stools were full. Hey, handsome, I'd like an apple teeny. FBC orders, placing her Louis Vuitton purse on the bar. Damn, I want that purse. Her eyes search the bar, probably for Roman. She glances quickly at me and smiles. After a moment, she grabs her phone from her purse, checking to see if she has a text. Per our plan, she will. Roman will text her, telling her he's running late.
Here you go, darling. Why is a beautiful woman like yourself drinking alone tonight?
Brett questions, laying the bait. Her dick-sucking smile perks at Brett. But mine would too. Brett is super hot. And let's be honest, if I didn't have my hands full with my own fucking dumb ape, I would try and hit that shit too. Oh, aren't you sweet? I'm waiting for someone. Running late, go figure. But you're more than welcome to keep me company while I wait. She grins again. I fight not to shove that amazing purse down her throat and tell her cunt ass to stay the fuck away from my... Ew, what the hell was I just going to say? I shake off the insanity and turn to my target. Men, fuck 'em, always late. Never know how to really treat us, ladies. I smile confidently and take a sip of my Sprite. The not drinking part wasn't my idea. Mostly Danny and fuckhead Roman. Something about how they're afraid I might ruin our plan if I drank and let my mouth run. No faith in me.
Girl, you have no idea. It's hard to find a good man anymore. But I snatched me one up now.
She grins seductively, sipping down her frilly drink. My hand itches to reach up and choke her, but I maintain my composure. I so get it, I wave to Brett, lifting my drink. Excuse me, I'll have what she's having. Looks way too tasty not to try. Brett gapes at me, knowing drinking was not part of the plan. He was instructed not to feed me booze, and not if, but when I ordered. We all knew it was only a matter of time.
Are you sure?
As sure as it would suck to be dickless. His eyes widen, his hand covering his dick. And get my new friend here a refill while you're at it, I bark out. On me.
You got it, he grumbles before stalking off to make our drinks.
Thanks, she says, her light brown eyes twinkling. They really make you all warm inside. Trust me, I love putting a few of these down. Her eyes narrow and she leans in to whisper, gets me horny. Then she giggles, admitting what a filthy cunt she is. I mimic her laughter and stick my hand out. Hi, I'm Andrea. FBC returns the gesture, her nails perfectly manicured and a charm bracelet dangling off her wrist. What the fuck is this bitch like, five? Hi, Chelsea. Nice to meet you. Love the outfit, by the way. Super my style. Bingo. I flash her a smile and wave at my chest. You can never go wrong with showing a little cleavage. I do it all the time at work. Really reels in the guys. I give her a conspiratorial wink. Man, I just got one earlier this week. Kinda tricked him, though, I say, leaning closer so I can whisper. Told him my manager wanted to see him, got him in the supply closet, let him suck on these for a bit, I say, lifting up my tits crudely. And then, when I was done getting my fill, told him I recorded it and suggested taking this horrid project off my hands or else I would tell everyone. I giggle profusely, maybe a little too much. I wait for her to take the second line of bait. And she does. Her eyes light up, like she just met her new best friend. Too bad, bitch. Danny has that job. No way. That's perfect, she exclaims and claps her hands together. So what happened? Brett puts our fresh drinks on the bar and rolls his eyes at me before stepping away again. Oh, I explain. He completed the project for me, all right. Did a wonderful job, and guess what? I got a raise. I grin and lift my drink. She actually cheers me. The urge to smash my martini glass into hers is overwhelming. Girl, I think you and I just may have become best friends. I love your style. She takes a hefty sip, finishing off her martini.
Grabbing the fresh one and taking a sip off the top, she says, "Well, I can top that." Bingo. This bitch is practically deep-throating my bait. There was this jerk at work, totally blew me off, said he had a girlfriend or whatnot, so I took this dirty picture of myself. Then, while he went to the bathroom, I uploaded it to his phone, making it look like he took it. Told him I was going to threaten to tell my daddy what a perv he was, and he wouldn't have to worry about his girlfriend anymore. He quit the next day. No one turns me down. Her eyes are calculating and evil. I cover my mouth, eyes wide. I laugh, pretending she's so awesome and clever, but mentally I'm kicking her in her stupid cunt. Oh, girl, you're awesome. I wish I would have thought of that. I had a guy like that once. Told me he wasn't interested in me, so I went girl cray. I stole his phone while he was in a meeting and took scandalous pics of myself, then sent them to my boss with a message that said, "Look what I'm going to hit later." Of course, since my boss is my daddy too, I lie, Jim was fired immediately. Teach him a lesson in letting a good thing slip away. We both laugh and raise our glasses in another toast. Taking two hefty gulps, I wave for Brett to refill us. He looks at me quizzically, and I give him the off-with-your-head look, and he knows exactly which head I'm referring to. Wow, we are drinking these fast. By the time my date gets here, I'm already going to be ready for him to take me back to his place. Her giggly comment is like nails on a chalkboard for me. I'm squeezing my glass so tight I'm surprised it doesn't shatter in my hands. Oh, yay. Drunk sex is the best, isn't it? I just love getting fucked royally by random men. I don't bother with relationships. No one is good enough for this prized possession, I say, taking my finger and pointing to myself. She nods in agreement and takes another drink. Agreed, girl. I swear. She complains. All men I've dealt with lately have been total pussies. I'm not even sure this one is going to cut it, but we shall see. He's rich and from what I hear has a nice cock. Love the ones that look large in the cock region, you know? Rage consumes me because for some odd reason, I don't like her thinking about Roman's cock whatsoever. I'm going to gut her. Fuck this plan. That's it. I'm going AWOL and fucking this bitch up. Two fresh martinis for the hottest chicks in the bar. Brett interrupts my internal fury. But you, sweetheart? He points to Chelsea and gives her a smoldering stare. Look like you could use some extra attention. I narrow my eyes at him, wondering what the fuck he's doing. This is not part of the plan, but neither is me drinking and planning to kill our target with my bare hands. I like attention, Chelsea purrs. What exactly did you have in mind? Using the underside of her finger, she runs it along the top of her martini glass, a suggestive smile playing at her lips.
Why don't I show you the back room?
He questions, his voice low as he leans across the bar, blatantly staring at her tits.
It's pretty huge.
And then he smirks as if his words have double meaning. What the fuck? Chelsea receives a text message, which I know will be Roman telling her he is going to be running another 30 minutes late. She lets out an annoyed huff, but then brings her sleazy eyes back to Brett.
Well, I do have some time to kill, she says,
and then stands. She's a little wobbly, since by now we are on our third martini in only a short amount of time. Brett walks from out behind the bar, taking Chelsea's hand.
Watch my purse, Kay.
She winks at me, and then they're gone. What the fuck? My phone goes off instantly. Danny. What just happened? Me. Dude, the bitch is pretty surely going to suck some cock. Roman.
How's it going?
Me. Fuck yourself. Danny.
Oh my god, while she's waiting for Roman? Wide-eyed emoji.
Me. For real, she's a real treat. Roman.
Ram just told me you were drinking. WTF, I thought we said no booze.
Me. I hate you. Danny.
Roman keeps firing off texts to Ram. He knows you're drinking. Oops face emoji. He's pissed.
Me. Roman can choke on his own dick. Roman.
You don't hate me and you know it.
Danny.
Ram just told Roman that Chelsea went to the back with Brett.
Me. Good.
Hope it hurts his pretty little cock-sucking feelings. Danny.
Shocked emoji. Roman.
What's happening?
Me. Your girlfriend is sucking off Brett. Gonna go back there next. My phone rings instantly. Roman's call coming through. I click ignore, just as Brett and Chelsea come strolling in from the back. Brett is smiling, and Chelsea looks just as cunty as she did before.
I'm going to use the ladies' room. Be back.
She waves at me and saunters off to the restroom. I worry she might see Danny and Ram at the booth on her way, but she's swaying, so I'm sure she's too drunk and dumb to look around.
What the fuck, dude? Getting your dick wet was not part of the plan.
I snap at Brett. He shrugs his shoulders, throwing his damn bar towel over his shoulder.
Yeah, but you looked kind of murderous, so I had to create a diversion,
he tells me with a mischievous grin. I roll my eyes at him while finishing off my drink.
Another one, now, and fill hers up too. Pretty sure she can use another drink to wash down the cum dripping down her throat.
We both actually laugh at that because it's fucking funny. Finally, the bitch returns. Well, that was fun. She winks at Brett as she takes a sip of her new drink. She leans in, trying to whisper, but the alcohol is affecting her senses, so she says it loud enough for Mars to hear.
Great cock. I'd recommend giving it a try sometime.
I hear Brett chuckle while I try to keep my jaw from falling off. This chick is a real piece of work.
Oh, I bet,
I tell her, quickly recovering and remembering my role here. Been waiting to hit that for months. Maybe I'll try once you take off with your date. I lift my drink, insinuating her to follow.
Let's make a toast. To awesome chicks who don't take shit from anyone.
She clinks her glass with me and we both drink. I continue. I'm loving our stories. Tell me another one. She puts her glass down, slapping her hands together.
So, get this, she begins, her voice slurring. This guy I was sort of into from work got boring for me. But he wouldn't be so easy to blow off since we would still have to see each other every day. To fix that little problem, I sent him a virus.
She leans closer and shouts,
Kitty porn!
Her laughter nearly has her falling off her bar stool, as if she just told me the world's funniest joke.
Anywho, Daddy wasn't happy and made his own brother fire him. It was amazing to watch the guy's poor face crumble. He was like a sad puppy when he was let go. How humiliating,
she ends, looking satisfied with herself. I, on the other hand, am seeing 50 Shades of Red. I'm fucking furious. I know the plan was to get her nice and drunk until she spilled the beans, then walk away, but there is no way that's happening, because I am kinda crazy, and this bitch just hit the ignition button on my crazy train. I gulp the remaining liquid in my drink and slam it down. It startles Chelsea, and she jumps a bit off her seat.
Dang, girl, a little rough with that.
I'm done listening to her skank ass. With a screech, I tackle her right off the bar stool. And the bar erupts in chaos. We both crash to the ground with a painful thud. Chelsea squeals in surprise as I lift my closed fist and bring it smashing down on her over-Botoxed face. I raise my hand for the second shot when someone behind me rips me off her.
Let me go! I'm going to cut this bitch!
I yell at whoever's holding me. I'm kicking and screaming, trying to get free, when I catch a whiff of the familiar scent of one big ol' asshole I know real well.
Fucking calm down, woman.
No, fuck you, I'm going to kill her.
Chelsea is trying to stand, tenderly touching her now bleeding nose.
You crazy bitch, you hit me.
Yeah, and I'm gonna fuck you up a whole lot more, you cunt whore fucking sleazy bitch.
I try elbowing Roman in the chest and get a good shot because I hear him grunt. He pulls me farther away, knowing with my impressive arm length, I can probably still knock her out. I see Danny and Ram run up, Ram now towering over Chelsea.
What the fuck are you doing here?
She slurs, grabbing for a napkin to stop the bleeding.
Clearing my name, he snaps, which you seem to have done.
Her brows raise, looking from me back to Ram.
Well, you can't prove anything. What, you think this twat's words matter? They had proof on your computer, Ramsey.
I go nuts again, kicking Roman, getting a good shot in the leg. He accidentally twitches, letting me go. I run at her, but get caught by Brett. "You're dead, bitch!" I scream, and Brett, trying not to get his balls hit by my kicking feet, hands me back to Roman. "Fuck you! Let me go! I'm going to kill her!"
"This isn't your fight, woman,"
Roman growls against my ear.
"Calm down. This is exactly why we all said you shouldn't drink."
"Fuck!" Roman twists me in his arms. His handsome face glowers at me for a brief moment before he crushes his lips to mine. I hate the way his lips feel on mine. Soft and sexy and delicious. His breath is always minty and mixed with a hint of coffee. His tongue, as it takes no prisoners, shoves into my mouth and tastes me, fucking turning me to mush. I kiss him back just as furiously. He makes me angry most of the time, but I enjoy his kisses all of the time.
"Oh my God, Roman, what the fuck?"
Chelsea bellows from behind us. I pull away, ready to go off when Danny steps in front of me.
"Remember me? I'm sure you do, because I'm someone you will never be. I'm Ram's girlfriend, the one he loves and will be something more than you will ever be to anyone. Being hateful is a sad quality to have, and no matter how beautiful you may appear on the outside, it makes you ugly inside and out. I hope you get what you deserve, because what you did, it's unforgivable."
Chelsea lets off an evil laugh and speaks.
"You're a joke. Meek little girl who thinks she has it all. Honey, someone like you won't find love. He will get tired of you. I mean, look at you. Leggings. Really? No one will believe a little runt like you."
Ram steps next to Danny, bringing her to his chest. If I'm seeing correctly, Ram looks like he just might take a swing at her as well, which I will be jealous 'cause that bitch is mine.
"You better watch how you talk to my future wife," Ram says, and everyone gasps, including Danny.
He places a kiss to the top of her head, turning his attention back to Chelsea.
"And you know who your father will believe?"
He holds up a cell phone.
"This recording that has your confession to not only what you did to me, but to three other employees at Tucker. You are finished. Once your father gets wind of this, I doubt you will be seeing the inside of Tucker advertising ever again."
She goes to slap Ram, but the craziest thing happens. Danny steps forward and smacks her first. Another round of shocked gasps fill the bar, and this time, I bust out laughing. I'm laughing so hard I buckle over in Roman's arms, tears starting to run down my face. Slow to follow, I hear Roman, then Ram, joining me. It's then I hear the soft, cute chuckle of my bestie as she joins in. She turns to look at me, her eyes filled with gleaming satisfaction, and says,
"Wow, I get why you do that a lot. Very fulfilling."
At that, everyone in the bar starts laughing. Minus Chelsea.
Chapter 20. Ram. Mind-blowing, explosive, slap-your-mama kind of sex. "Dude, lighten up," I tell my brother as I hand him a beer. "She's probably on the rag or some shit." Roman scrubs at his cheek and shakes his head. "Mom said," his voice gets higher to mimic our mother,
"if you like her, invite her to Christmas."
"I don't talk like that,"
Mom hollers from the kitchen. Reagan and Danny, who are in there with her, start giggling. We both laugh because that woman hears everything. "Anyway, so I invite her because I'm really fucking trying here. You know what she says to me?" Roman growls. "Something along the lines of fuck you or fuck off or go fuck yourself?" I quip with a smirk. He nods. "All of the above. What the hell, man?" But then she sends me this. He opens his phone and holds it up to me. "Goddamn those tits."
"What are you doing after your boring family shit?"
I lift an eyebrow at him. "God damn those tits?" A wolfish grin spreads across his face. "I mean, for real though, have you seen?" I cut him off, waving at him. "First of all, try putting her actual name in your phone. I'm all for nicknames, but that's just wrong. Second of all," I utter, leaning in, "have you tried taking her on a date or something? Your relationship is based purely on sex." He snorts. mind-blowing, explosive, slap-your-mama kind of sex, he tells me.
I heard that,
Mom hollers. I shake my head at him.